Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guy, Jason Kelce. Jason, good morning, bud.
Good morning. How are we doing, Joe?
I'm good, pal. Man, Tush Push, you've been talking about it and talking about it.
Plenty of news cycle on the Tush Push.
You a little tired of it?
I've been tired of talking about the Tush Push.
I'm sure.
For multiple seasons now, for sure.
We don't have to do the deepest. I can only imagine, man. I mean, it's just...
You did it in front of owners.
The funny thing about the recent news cycle is that it actually has nothing to do with the pushing portion. And that was a point I tried to make earlier in the week. You know, previously it's been like competitive advantage pushing, which if that's your argument, I understand that viewpoint.
And that is my argument. I just don't like the push.
It used to be illegal.
Right.
You used to not be able to assist the runner.
Yeah.
I get that. If that's why you want to ban it, it's hard for me to argue other than like, you know, they changed the rule for a reason and it is what it is right now. The argument about player safety, like obviously there's absolutely zero statistical data to make that argument. So if you want to do that, that's pure speculation. And then recently, the offsides and false starts, which you know, I tried to articulate, even if the Eagles go up there and do a normal quarterback sneak, that same issue is going to be that. That has nothing to do with the pushing portion.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just been a fun overreaction from the media in general because a bunch of people stir it up on Twitter and they know that by releasing sound bites, they'll then get views and clicks and likes and it's been fun to watch take place for sure.
Do you think when there's so many bodies in there, more than the normal alignment, when it's so scrunched, do you think 40 yards over, whatever, John, 53 yards across the field?
53 and a half.
So about 25 over from the end.
53 yards. It's about 70 feet, I think I did the math. Something like that.
Do you think it's
hash
right
to the sideline, which is typically where the ball's at.
Gotcha. Do you think it's harder for the officials to see it if there's 16 bodies instead of 10?
Of course, the more bodies that are on the line of scrimmage. And this is my – I still don't think it's going to be that much – if you're running a regular quarterback sneak without people pushing, there's still going to be that same issue of neutral zone judging.
It should be clean, though. I mean, a neutral zone's a neutral zone. It's
should be. This is something that gets taken advantage of throughout the game, though. And this is – it doesn't get highlighted often, but we send clips in every week of D-linemen in the neutral zone – on short yardage plays or third down plays, whether it's ends or one techniques or two eyes, everybody, the tackle being on the ball. Like, not only is neutral zone something that they struggle to officiate, but the tackle being on the line of scrimmage is something made a point of emphasis. Like, the reality is there's a gamesmanship that's happening throughout the game.
So says the center who would move the ball forward before the snap. You ever notice that, James? Somehow the Eagles gained a half a yard before the play even began. I'm just saying, I saw it happen.
Listen, if the ball moves around a little bit, it's purely coincidental.
By accident.
Every player that has ever played in the NFL is utilizing any advantage that they can garner through some level of gamesmanship, whether it's a DB holding a wide receiver on a route, an offensive lineman holding, a defensive lineman holding on a game. Like, all of these things, you're trying to push the envelope of what you can get away with to maximize your opportunity to have success. The Eagles are going to be under a huge scrutiny moving forward, and then they've already been. I mean, this pops up, right? I remember 2 years ago, there was a lot of noise about the Eagles being in the neutral zone on the tush push, and we got a bunch of penalties where the officials thought it was Landon Dickerson's hand, but it was actually my hand in the neutral zone. We had three called penalties that were not penalties because, again, the other teams throw in the tape, and they're like, listen, Landon Dickerson in the neutral zone. So what do? We move Landon out of the neutral zone, but now the officials are looking to call it, and I'm allowed in the neutral zone as a center. I get into a four-point stance, and they all thought that my left hand was Landon's hand. We had three penalties called that really weren't penalties.
Wow.
So this is going to happen. We're going to have some called on us that aren't deserved, and we're just going to have to know that that's being called because we pushed the envelope too much, and the league is now trying to make amends and prevent us and other teams from exploiting this to this extent.
Yeah.
But the neutral zone thing is very difficult. They're 70 feet away. Where that thing starts at is very difficult to gauge, and that happens not just on quarterback sneaks, but obviously on a quarterback sneak, you're trying to get take the space away as much as possible. Both teams are. So both teams are really infringing on the neutral zone to whatever degree they're going to be allowed to.
Well, fascinating details from Jason, who, by the way, is brought to us, as always, by his beer. The garage is always open with garage beer. Light beer like it used to be, light beer like it is with garage beer. Find garage beer at your local retailer or online at garagebeer.com, official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. We got a ton to do with Jason. Obviously, the Eagles, you know, riding pretty high. Now, look, frustration with the offense, very clear. One of the things we've been discussing today, have we been too hard on the Eagles so far out of the gate this year? Rhea, have we? Been a lot of negative calls, a lot of hosts, myself included, have had negative comments. I do try to come back a lot and say, but they're 2-0, but the defense is better than I thought. They're playing great on that side. Have we, the collective, been too hard, Rhea?
No, not at all. Notice you waited until almost 2 hours in the show to ask me that.
I think we knew the answer coming regardless. Yeah.
This is true. And here's the point is, I don't think we beat it hard because if you listen to the Eagles talk, they're hard on themselves. A.J. Brown says the criticism is fair. Jalen Hurts said expectations are fair. Nick said it hasn't been pretty. And if I'm not, you know, I know Twitter is a different place.
Yeah.
But no one has called this radio station in 2 weeks and demanded that anybody be fired.
Not like last year.
No, not like last year. So yeah. I think we all looked at the first game and said it was a weird, you know, first half, tremendous. Right. Jalen looked great.
Yep.
The second half was a mess because of the delay. And the Chiefs game was going to be difficult. But, you know, I just think it's fair to say there haven't been. The passing game is not, but the passing game, there was problems with last year.
No, it's been pedestrian. All right, well, look, we ask you if you think we, the collective, you know, maybe me individually, some of us individually, all of us as a fan base, have we been a little hard on the Eagles out of the gate? Because they are 2-0.
Are you feeling guilty, Joe?
No. So I'll say, yeah, I think I've been a little hard. No, I don't feel guilty. I mean, critical analysis, John. There's analysis, and then there's what the hammer provides, Jason. Critical analysis.
You
know? I mean, it's like Jason is a center. You think he was happy with every play? No. He said, let's buckle down, boys. Yeah. All I'm saying is, let's buckle down, boys. Mm. Now, Jason had a little bit more standing to make that comment.
I'm very pro Philadelphia media being very honest with their sports teams. I think that, in general, it pushes a lot of the times the envelope, and I've seen that in the building, that it has an effect on people to make corrections and make change. And I think it's actually one of Philadelphia's media landscape strengths. It's very frustrating to go through at times as a player and an athlete in the city or a coach, I'm sure. But the reality is I do think the net gain from it where, like, you can't fall asleep in the city. You are going to be getting crucified if you're not going out there and doing your job. And I think that that does push people.
215-592-9490 for your chance to weigh in on all this. Also, let's give you the Twitter poll question of the day right now. We got a Phil's question. You know, we got one of those phases where a Phil's loss doesn't really matter. I mean, they might not catch the Brewers, but they lost to the Dodgers last night. It's okay. Phil's going to be at least a 2 seed. Nothing to complain about. But we do have what I think is an intriguing poll question about the playoffs and what could come thereafter. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2026 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. It's a little bit of a thought provoker. Is Rob Thompson's job for next year safe regardless of the outcome of the playoffs? Put another way, this team that's flying high, that he's going to guide to about 95 to 98 wins this year, is his job safe if they lose in their first playoff round? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly wait on the phone lines as well. All the calls coming up with Jason here coming up in just 1 minute.
If you've spent time building the right roster and earning the fans, then you need the best technology to back it all up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free, but that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, on this Thursday morning with the Birds 2-0, Jason in studio with us. Get a lot of calls in here. Talk to Paul in Downingtown. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. And I'm one of the things I love the most about sports radio is that a soda drinker like me gets to talk to a Super Bowl champion. And, so first of all, because this is an honor for me, and I haven't gotten to do it before, thank you for your work in the community, your charitable work. Thank you for your speech on the Art Museum steps. Thank you for your dedication to our football team. And thank you for bringing home the first Super Bowl championship in the history of the franchise.
Thank you very much, Paul. Honor's all mine to talk to a soda drinker.
You don't talk to many, do you, Jason?
No.
Yeah, you know, so you guys are over there with beers, and I'm over here with a pop. But, I'll say this. First of all, how about Schwarz, man? He's like he's going to bed every night with a lottery ticket whose value is yet to be determined. I mean, if I'm him, I'm sleeping with my bat, not my wife. You know, I mean, I just, what a lovely, lovely place for him to be. You know, I mean, it just got away. And, I kind of have two, I think, unpopular opinions. And the first one I'll get to is that I'd sign Topper right now. For me, he's...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The manager of the year kind of candidate. What he's done, especially down the stretch, reorganizing the outfield, getting strong with the Castellanos decision, helping to manage the staff. You lose down the stretch. Your spark plug, the guy that led off the offense, made the whole thing go. You lose your very best arm to a terrible medical circumstance that has a psychological effect on your entire clubhouse, and you go on a run like this. That energy could have gone one of two ways, and Topper guided it in the most perfect way you possibly could. I don't know how he's not a manager of the year.
Well, Paul, there's no doubt he's done a great job. So there's no argument with what you're describing over the last 6 months, and especially the last month or two. But, you know, there is the Dungy situation with the Bucks where they got rid of him after knocking on the door and not winning. And we know Middleton's competitive, and we know Topper's had some mistakes in October. So, you know, yeah, I don't think it's 100% he's back. If they lose early, especially if he has one or two whopper of mistakes like he has had before, I think that could be problematic.
Yeah. And my second unpopular opinion is there's a lot of different ways to win a football game. And you know, you do it as a team. And Jalen Hurts does that, you know, in part just by being capital, by being on top of it and not making mistakes. But at the end of the day, like what it looks like to a lot of, you know, soda drinkers like me is that you have an offense that is – like the parts are in A across the board. Your offensive line, your tight end, your wide receivers, your running back, it's all A-plus material. And oftentimes, at the end of the day, when you're looking at the stats, it's like the sum doesn't equal the parts. And it's because, in my opinion, he doesn't put the ball in harm's way. I'd rather have him pushing that ball downfield. I'd rather have this offense doing the kind of historic things that I imagine that it could do, like pushing 300 yards of passing almost every week, A.J. Brown and Smith out the butt, you know, Barkley running for almost 100. You just can't stop this thing. How do you
Paul,
stop it
only
from,
if he can, only, only if he can do it, though, without screwing it up. And that's, well, I think he is playing to not. And then, by the way, they succeed that way. All right, Paul, I need an answer from you, buddy. What is satisfying?
All right, this is hard to explain, but I was recently on the turnpike where it was only two lanes, and this guy was playing captain safety, you know, in the passing lane. And it took miles and miles and miles. We're stuck behind this guy. Nobody's passing. A state policeman comes up, and I kind of think that me and all the people behind us are in trouble or something. He actually pulled over the guy that was playing, you know, the safety captain, the guy that was going 65 miles an hour in the speeding lane and causing a delay. He pulled him over. I wanted to pull over and give that officer a round of applause and buy him a steak dinner.
I get it, man. That makes sense.
That is satisfying.
That would be satisfying. So, Jason, Eagles offense.
Sure.
It has looked this way. Why?
I mean, I think they're obviously they have a new change with a play caller, an offensive coordinator, and Kevin Petullo. I think that they, first of all, also played one of the best defenses over the last 2 years last week in Kansas City. I think we can sometimes overlook that because of the way the Super Bowl went and how lopsided that was. But the Chiefs are not a team that have let anybody offensively, especially coming into Arrowhead, come in and have a very easy day. I think that they've been great in certain situations. I think they've been really good in the red zone. I think that they've been good in third down conversions, which part of that is tush-push related. But, yeah, it's – and even to start the game, I think a lot of the times there's like two different parts of the game plan. There's your starters that you come into the game with that are like, this is what we're expecting to see, and we have all these very specific plays that generate explosives and high-powered offense. And the first week, it went really well against Dallas. This last week, I thought the first play of the game, it looked like AJ's wide open. If they don't miss the corner blitzing on the nub side, they get that picked up, that might be a huge play down the field. So I think overall, it feels like it's just a little bit disjointed and guys are kind of missing here and there. But I still think there's a lot of optimism moving forward. They still have great players. The run game was a lot better this last week with Saquon and the offensive line. And I have a lot of confidence that the passing game will pick up.
Is the sluggishness thing real when you don't play in preseason games? Is it? Did you feel later in your career harder to get going week one and two than early when you were playing for Andy and you guys were playing preseason games?
The harder thing for weeks one through four that happened once you stopped doing as much preseason was actually your conditioning level. Because you don't realize it, but there's no amount of conditioning you can do really in practice or in the off season that can make you in shape for playing football games. And all training camp, you know, a period, the ones, even in training camp, like a maximum amount of plays, unless you're doing like a long drive drill where they're purposely trying to build in conditioning, you're usually working like 4 to 6 play racks, like 6 to 8 maybe, right? Where you're going to get six plays on average probably. Now you go into a game and I'll go back in practice. Maybe your max total reps for plays is 40, 30. Now all of a sudden you're going into a game.
Yeah.
You're playing 60 to 90 reps a game. You're going on 15 play drives. You're sitting in your stance, waiting there for the cadence and everything. Like all of that does manifest for offensive linemen, specifically myself. And then I would have to assume, especially for one of the things that like make a passing game go is everybody be on the same page, timing, coordination. Like I think that probably does factor in. And I also do think, you know, there is something to being a play caller that Petullo is still navigating. I mean, it's his first time doing it.
Yep.
I know he's a great coach. I know he knows what to do in certain situations and he's going to continue to improve. So I think all of that stuff is kind of being ironed out right now.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to give you, everyone listening, a name. And with that name, tomorrow on our show at 8 o'clock, you can win tickets to this Eagles Rams game. Rhea, we love giving these tickets.
Yeah, courtesy of our great friends, great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Make sure in the lead up to any Eagles home game, you know, when it's a Sunday game, especially, the times are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock. Listen to those 4 days, those 4 times, and know the 4 names, and you can win tickets. So listen to the name coming up in 10 minutes. All these names that we're giving you this week tie into the Eagles and the Rams in big ways. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph, good morning, bud.
Good morning, long time. Before I get into the Eagles passing game, the Phillies, I've been calling every now and then. I'm not a believer. I do believe Topper got this team through some adversity with some injuries this year. But again, the last 2 nights, you face Otani, you face Snell, you're going to face Yakamoto, you're going to face Kershaw probably out of the bullpen. They're not beating the Dodgers if they can't hit great pitching. And it's not Topper's fault. They don't have the players that can hit great pitching. I'm not a Topper fan. If he comes back, Schwarber comes back. If Topper's not coming back, I don't think Schwarber wants to start all over again. But I do think the hitting coach has to go, Kevin Long. Every time the Phillies play have great pitching, they wet the bed.
Well, Joe, let me say this about him. More players have improved this year than regressed.
The way you beat the Dodgers is their bullpen. They have a bad bullpen. Like, that's the way to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't think
they won 2 or 3 out there.
I don't think that's fair on Kevin Long. I really don't. I mean, Castellanos has gotten worse, but he's supposed to because he's old.
Yeah, but guys, Otani's not only pitching 5 innings in the playoffs. He's not going to just pitch 5 innings.
Otani might be a reliever in the playoffs. They just put him out there, buddy.
Yep.
Okay. You guys can believe in the Phillies. I hope they win the World Series and they get this off their back. I'm not a believer in this core. I'm just not.
Okay.
We can get the offense for the Eagles. It's the same. They're very predictable. You know, when you have two tight ends running the football 90% of the time, they have 4 passing routes. They run slants.
Maybe they're setting everyone up now. Now
sandbagging them, are they, John?
Zig.
No, it's the same thing, guys. It's the same thing. They don't throw the ball between 15 and 25 yards between the hash marks. Jalen has a hard time seeing the field. If he can't see it, he's not throwing it. He's a shorter quarterback, and it's not his fault. He tries to master what he can, and the Eagles are very smart. They take what Jalen does best, and they use it.
I agree.
They don't put him in positions to make a bad throw or a turnover. He's a shorter quarterback. Shorter quarterbacks do not throw those intermediate routes. They don't run crossing routes. That's an issue with an offense with explosive plays. They're not an explosive offense. But I have to ask you guys, when is the last time the Eagles have been down in a game by more than a score that Jalen's on the field? To have to do that. You don't. If you're in close games and have the lead, or you're behind by a score or less, why do you have to take chances on plays that you know that are iffy?
Joe, you're talking basically what Baldy said. I want to play this audio. Joe, hang on 1 second. Listen to this audio, Baldy, this week on WFA.
Jalen just is not going to turn the ball over. Like, he's just going to – he'll be as conservative as possible. Those shots you could take – against some of these umbrella defenses that they're seeing with the safeties back, there's shots you could definitely take in front of the safety. But he's just not risking it right now. And so he's not taking those throws that are there. And it's okay when you're playing with the lead and your defense is playing great and your special teams, your kickers, making the kicks. But they're not even trying to be aggressive, Ike. I mean, it's 3rd and 13 last week. They just hand the ball off.
I was surprised at that.
They just hand it off and punt it.
Yeah,
you know, like, that might change if they're playing from behind. So I think some of it is just dictated by the tempo of the game and the score of the game. And so I think that's part of it right now.
Yeah, Joe, you and Baldy are saying the same thing there, man.
I understand it. I'll use the analogy, and again, you guys are always harping me against the Phillies part. But if they beat the Dodgers and they only hit one home run in the 5-game series and they out-small ball the Dodgers, are we complaining that the guys aren't hitting home runs?
No.
Or are we celebrating that we actually won a best of 5 against great pitching?
Celebrating.
So what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference.
I believe what happened last year is an anomaly. I believe for this team to succeed for the next 10 years, the way the Chiefs did and the Patriots did, I believe the quarterback's got to get better, and I'm disappointed. Out of the gate this year. That's my opinion.
So you're telling me that the team has to be down by 7 to 14 points for them to open the offense up for that to happen.
Well, I'm telling you, he would be more inclined to do it. I mean, he would have to do it, and the coach would have to do it.
I don't want the team to be hit down 7 to 14 points.
Well, Joe, none of us do, but it's also inevitable. At some point, you're going to have some roster depletion. At some point, you're going to have some injuries, and at some point, you're going to have some different game scripts here. But look,
and then when you have to do that, Jalen has done that. Bengals, Steelers, Super Bowl, NFC Championship, but he doesn't have to do it. So
No, you're right about that, Joe. Give me an answer. What's satisfying?
Oh, it only happens once a year. And, you know, Sunday comes out with the March Madness and you fill out your pool and the anticipation to that Thursday when you order your wings and you get in front of the television for March Madness, it's very satisfying
nice
to watch
one.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 o'clock on Thursday, that's a good answer.
It's a shame they're increasing the field.
That's a joke, Rhea. I mean, they haven't
yet.
They
are going to get you.
Are they doing it? I didn't see that.
Not official, but they're talking 96.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
I'm telling you, they're going to lose people.
Jason,
you a March Madness guy?
Love March Madness, yes.
Yeah.
It's the best part of the year for basketball just in general. Like, as much as I love the NBA, too, like, there is nothing better than the first two rounds of March Madness.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the most magical time of all time.
By the way, speaking of hoops, give me your opinion on this as an athlete. And, John, you too, because I as a fan, I'm anti this. And this is geared for me and us that are fans.
Oh, I know where you're going with it. You and I are going to be so on the opposite side of this.
All right. I think it's outrageous.
I love it. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. NBA was announced yesterday, starting with this upcoming season, for nationally televised games. I don't know if it's all of them, but for some nationally televised games.
It's going to be select, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. One that are on Paramount, I believe.
They're going to have an analyst. Oh, Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock, I'm sorry.
They're going to have an analyst seated on the team's bench.
Yes.
Microphone, headset, commentating. Able to listen to what the players say to each other,
yes.
And able to put the head right into the huddle and listen to the coach address the team in a timeout. There are safeguards they say in place to not report what shouldn't be reported.
Yeah. Oh, that.
But
I
wonder how. I mean, what are they going to have?
Jason,
fly? Like,
all right, Jason, what do you? Jason, your opinion.
Oh, I think that's a complete joke.
I do too.
Hey, those safeguards.
Me too, for Wednesday.
Those pretend safeguards, like, what are they?
Well, basically, you can't say, like, the diagram of a play, but here's the problem.
I say, as a player, I think it's a complete joke. As someone just watching the NBA, I cannot wait to hear what comes
out. See, that's to me as a viewer. And here's, Joe,
well,
I'll say this.
I hear you, Ray. You know, I know what you mean.
Joe, you did the Soul Games. You were the play-by-play guy.
Yes.
I was the sideline person. And I remember, I mean, we're going back 20 years ago when Bon Jovi earned it.
Sure.
And they said, you're going to start interviewing the players when the quarterback comes off. And I'm like, you want me to do what?
Right,
like,
right.
I was scared.
Yeah.
But that league was geared towards, you know, they were just trying to do anything to get eyeballs
that's
on
right,
it.
That's right.
And it was fun.
It was.
I have to say, like, I was getting stuff, you know, when they were mad, when they were happy. And it was like, it provided a little bit more edge for me just doing
the sidelines. Well, for sure.
And I liked it. But I think, can you imagine... And I forget where it might have been Crossing Broad. They were right. Can you imagine Doc Rivers sitting there?
I know.
I mean, I just think it for a viewer, it's going to be gold.
Yeah,
absolute gold.
And I mean, listen, the NBA is trying to do anything they can right now to increase these ratings. They struggled last year and they want those things higher. And I can't wait to see what comes out of it. I'm very curious to see how those timeouts go compared to like NFL sideline timeouts. I'm very curious.
How about the players? It's 2 minutes left in the game and things are hot, and you look over and there's an analyst sticking his head in, and they're going to get out.
I also think it'll be good to a certain extent because at least for me watching the NBA, I think there's what I would like to see more is like that 90s mentality of like hatred between like teams.
Totally.
And, like, it feels like they're missing a little bit of that emotional, competitive nature that makes sports really entertaining to watch. And maybe in these moments, they'll capture more of that. And it'll be like, oh, yeah, these guys actually do care. They're not just out there collecting a paycheck. And I think that, this has a chance to maybe highlight some things that I think the NBA is missing a little bit.
Yeah. No, listen, I get what you're all saying. I mean, sure, I will say, of course, it's more entertaining for the viewer. But
it feels like it could be a hornet's nest.
Yeah, it just feels like a violation of the player's sanctity to me.
Sure, and like things get said there that you don't want to be said.
Of course
publicly.
Not.
And I think there's power in being able to say something that you know is going to stay between you and maybe four or five other people.
Right, Jason.
There's
I love the video
more candidness.
And I know you'll know. Well, I think you'll know this video when Peyton Manning was mic'd up and he's giving Saturday.
One of my favorite clips of all time.
And they're freaking out. He's freaking out at Saturday. And Saturday comes back and then and then Peyton Manning realizes he's mic'd up.
Yeah, exactly.
it's unbelievable.
That's a very good one. Yeah. I mean there's tons of those. And that was even being mic'd up, that was something that I struggled with. Like I'm like there was a moment Malcolm Jenkins. We had a Skandrick, Orlando, maybe?
Orlando Skandrick. Yep.
Oh, that guy.
He went on and like crushed Malcolm on like ESPN or whatever. And then the Eagles released a couple days after that clips of him on the sideline talking to Malcolm and telling him what a good leader he is. It made Skandrick look terrible.
I remember the
time, like, dude, I am not being, what are they holding back from me? Because I said all sorts of crap during the game.
My dream, Jason, is to get into NFL film someday.
Oh, they got it.
Where no one else is around and just go through the freaking vault.
They got a whole catalog. There's tons of interesting stuff if they ever want to release that.
I want the LT stuff off the record from
exactly,
the 80s.
Exactly.
I want that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.